Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, my name is Kimi Tokpe Lawal, and I was just on Me, Her, and Everything Else podcast with Stephanie Coker at Daring Lokum, talking about sickle cell and how it affects us warriors.
Hey guys, how are you all doing? Welcome to another episode of Me, Her, and Everything Else with your girl Stephanie Coker at Daring Lokum. I hope you're all doing well. Thanks for all the love. You guys are always showing love, and you know, we love you here. So today's episode is going to be a very special one. It is in honor of World Sickle Cell Day. And I'm here with one of my amazing warrior friends, Timmy Tucker. Hey. How are you doing?
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Good. You look lovely.
Thank you. So do you.
Thank you. So you were obviously diagnosed with sickle cell from birth. Right?
Yeah.
And just tell us a bit about the journey so far, being a sickle cell warrior.
Well, as you know, like both my parents, they're AS and AS. So I'm just going to go a bit on how sickle cell, like how you get it.
Yeah.
So it's basically one S from my mom and one S from my dad. So coming together, that made me a sickle cell warrior. But I mean, you know how growing up, people like, you know, like talk to you like, oh, she's a biku, she's... Like where we're from is basically like, oh, she's gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's how people see it. So growing up, I didn't really grow up so much in Nigeria. So, but while being in Nigeria, I felt like it was just too much of people saying, oh, she's sick today. Oh, are you gonna take her to hospital? She's sick tomorrow. Are you gonna take her to hospital?
Mm.
But then I left and then I went to the UK and then it's different. But if we're talking about like pain-wise, it's hard. It's been hard. I started having pain at 2 years old when I was two. So literally when the pain starts,
the type of pain?
I'm going to try. It's hard to describe the pain, but I could say like when you get a nail and you're trying to like hit a wall, like trying to like, like hit a nail. That's how it is. Like, on your bones, it's like repeatedly, and that person is not stopping.
So that's how just, it feels constantly.
Yeah, constantly. And it could go on for days, it could go on for weeks. Sometimes I'm in hospital for like a month because I'm still having that pain every single day. And like you're always like popping painkillers. So I'm always on pain. As I'm here now, I've got my painkiller because anything could happen. So I came with my painkiller. So you're never like, painkillers free, you're never pain free. As I'm sitting here, I'm not pain free, but it's bearable. It's bearable for me. But yeah, it's just pain basically. Like,
do you resent your parents?
Okay, that's a good question. Actually, I've never resented my parents for having sickle cell, but there was a time I was really, really sick.
Do we have tissue? It's okay, by the way. Like, if you cry, if I cry, it's okay. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay, guys. This is gonna be a very emotional episode, so maybe you should also get your tissue.
Yeah,
because this is a real life. This is something that women and men, young boys and girls are going through. And I'm just so grateful for Temi to open up and share her story with us. So you're going to have to bear with us because we're going to have a couple of moments.
I was so sick and I was pregnant with my son. And I literally said to my mom, I was like, you're the reason I have this sickle cell. I wish you didn't give it to me. You're the reason I'm suffering. I would never say that to my mom on a normal day. And it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So I literally resent, I hated her so much because the pain was so much.
Yeah.
Now imagine being pregnant and having so much pain mm-hmm. that I couldn't get up. I couldn't do anything. I was in hospital for a month and I was pregnant.
Are you hormonal as well?
Exactly. So it was everything going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, can you take this baby out because it's too much? It's too much pain and everything. So yeah, that was the only time I've ever said to my mom, I wish you didn't give this to me. I just want to die, blah, blah, blah. It was so bad. I have those moments all the time. The moments where I just I just want to die. It's too much, blah, 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 blah. And because it's, that day I was speaking to you, mm-hmm. I was telling you it's hard. That's what I could say about sickle cell. It's really hard to cope with.
Yeah. And, I went to primary school with a girl. She was Nigerian and she had sickle cell. And we just noticed that she would have a crisis.
That's what it's called, yeah.
And she'd just be in so much pain and then she just wouldn't be in school. And we'd all be like, oh my gosh, is she okay? Then that's the first time we actually learned about sickle cell. And, they said, okay, it affects mainly Afro-Caribbeans and African people. And it just seemed like, okay, wow, this is something that is so, it takes such a toll on one's life that why is there not a cure yet? Or why is there not, it doesn't seem like there's anything really being done about treating this. But do you feel like there should be more focus on the prevention?
Yeah. Well, there is one major cure. It's called a bone marrow transplant.
Yeah.
But that is not for everyone. That is not for everybody because aside the fact that it's expensive, it's got a lot of risk to it. It's you have to go through chemotherapy. It's a major surgery. It's not something you just go in and come out. It's something that takes time for you to decide you want to do.
Mm.
And the pain that you're going to go through while doing the surgery, the chemo, losing your hair, not being able to eat. You can't come back from a bone marrow transplant until about 6 years. That's what I heard. That's from the people that's done it. And truthfully, I've not seen anyone come out of it. I've seen people die from it, but I've never seen anyone come back from it. So I've never actually wanted that option. But aside that, there's nothing else. Not like cancer, no offense to any cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
There is a cure. There's so many things for cancer, but just not for sickle cell.
And do you think that's because it mainly affects Black people?
I think so. I think it's because it's just Black people.
Mm. And do you think the reason why there hasn't been a cure per se is because it's a sickness that affects mainly Black people?
Yeah, I think so. I agree with you because mainly it's abroad looking for cures, looking for treatment. There's so many treatments for sickle cell, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
But it's not, there's no major thing where somebody would just go in and say, okay, okay, there's a cure. But then I also feel our own people aren't doing so much about it.
Mm.
I think they're leaving it to other people
to
do.
The Western world.
Exactly, to do it
for them.
When it
doesn't really affect them.
Exactly. But then that's the thing. I feel like because of this, we're treated badly. Like, I don't know if you know, but sickle cell people are treated not good in most hospitals.
Really?
Even abroad, yes, yes,
like
yes.
What, when you say treated badly, is it the way like they maybe like attend to you?
There's communication. There's racism. There's discrimination. There's in terms of pain medication. If I was in a room with someone who had cancer and we're both sick and I needed painkillers, they would attend to whoever had, you know, has cancer first before they come to me. So it's like a constant fight of asking for what you really deserve. So you're going to hospital, you're asking, oh, I'm in pain, can I have painkillers? And you're not being like, you're waiting for like 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and you're just there because they think, oh, she's black, she's here for the meds, she wants to get high on the meds, things like that. So
really?
it's that's what I'm telling you, that's what happens.
Do you think maybe because they also can't really, they don't, you know, if you're Caucasian and you don't have anybody that has sickle cell because you hang around with Caucasian people, they can't even really understand the pain. And I think maybe it's being played up.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's in the mix as well. They don't have people that have sickle cell in the Western world.
Mm.
So they don't understand like how much you feel or how you feel. You're just being treated by the books, basically.
Mm.
So if the book says, oh, Tammy is in a pain over 10, and this is how she should look.
Mm.
So the doctor comes and expects you to look what the book says, but I'm looking what my body says.
Mm.
So they come, and if you're not, you know, looking what the book says, they tell you, oh, it's not real. Oh, we can't give you painkillers. Oh, we can't do this. So it's a struggle. And I think the struggle wouldn't be if our own people, like literally trying for us, trying to put everything out there, like, this is how they feel. This is how we should be.
Mm.
You know, it's not by the books. Yes, we understand you went to school, you studied medicine for years, but then I feel the pain.
Mm.
I know what's wrong with me, but you know, you don't listen.
What about this? Talk about prevention, because, you know, there's always been this like conversation around people getting married and they know fully well they're AS and AS, and they're deemed as being kind of like selfish and not thinking about their children. What is your take on that? Because you're married.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And, so you're SS, sorry.
Yeah, I'm SS.
And, Would you have married somebody that was AS? Would that be an option for you?
I mean, looking at the pain I go through, no. Mm. It would never, ever be an option. But if I had money, loads of it, it would be. Because there is it's called PGD, pre-implantation diagnosis. I think that's what it's called. I'm not sure.
Pre-genetic testing.
I think, that's what it's called. So they like take out the, you know, genes that don't have sickle cell and put it back just like IVF and all. So yeah, there's an option, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
And aside from being expensive, you have to go through the needles and all that stuff. So it's not for everybody.
Mm.
Do you understand? So there's so many people in my DM saying, oh, I love this guy. It's AS. What do you think from your point of view? Should I be with him? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. No, 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 no. I say no first and then I go, but you can do this, 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 and that.
Mm.
But to your question, I would say no, please do not, AS and AS, do not get married. I'm saying it again, please do not get married and check your genotype. A lot of people don't know their genotype, Steph. Like, I have people in my day, they don't even know what their genotype is. So people go and get married without even knowing, you know. If I have a friend, she just found out she had sickle cell at what, 30? Because all her life, they've lied to her in Nigeria that she's AA. And how did she find out she was pregnant? And then, you know, all this testing that we're doing that they do to make sure your child does not have the... And then she found out she was sickle.
How is that possible? Is it possible for your cells to mutate? Like,
no, she's always had it. She's just... It's just a thing. So now there are different type of sickle cell. So there is the SS, there's the SC, there is SB. And there's, I think, CC. So they're like about four or five different types. So mine, which is HBSS, is the most serious one out of all of them. So she found out she had the HBSC.
HBSC. Okay,
yeah, so you're HBSC the SS. And the SS.
Okay.
So HBS is also sickle cell, but just a different type. And they don't get sick as often as we do.
Okay.
But when they do, it's really bad as well.
So like, do you know if she'd ever been sick? Like,
you know, because she's my friend. She's, you know, had bone pains and everything. Okay. But in where we're from, they call it, I'm trying to remember the Yoruba word they use for it. They call it romanticism. I don't know. Or joint or something like that. Like,
okay.
There's a name for every, like when you get a bone pain, there's this women, this like all our mothers, they have names for it. So they called it like romanticism or something all her life. So that was her just thinking, okay, maybe it's just normal, like bone pain. I'm just tired for no reason. And everything started making sense because when she wanted to have a baby, she was in labor for 2 days. And I was wondering, why are you in labor for 2 days? And eventually they had to do a C-section.
Okay.
So it was from there I was thinking, okay, maybe something is wrong, you know, and everything. And she was like, oh yeah, she opened up. Okay, I have sickle cell, blah, blah, blah. So it can happen. And that's from people not even checking their genotype, not knowing. And now imagine if her husband was AS.
Yeah.
So now the child would have been...
Could have been like
either SS or SC or whatever it is. So... I would just say people to check their genotype before even thinking about marriage. Because in Nigeria, I'm not even joking, people aren't checking their genotypes. Then not everybody just assumes I'm AA. I've never seen it before.
Yes.
When I came to Nigeria, what's your genotype? I'm AA. Did you check? No, my mother told me I'm AA. But okay. I mean, please check your genotype.
Wow. And so people... Sorry, this is just a lot because... you know, you see, when something doesn't happen to you, you don't know anyone that has sickle cell, like, firsthand, it's easy to just be like, oh, okay, yeah, sickle cell is a disease that affects these people. That's so sad. And you can feel sorry for them and things like that. But it's not something where, the way you're describing it is not something that you just feel like once in a blue moon. It's your everyday life. So, you for example, you're married, you're a mother. How is that? You know, you said that you're in constant pain and you're having to do things that every other human being is doing. And sometimes we're even grumbling about that, even just getting out of bed. But for you, how are these activities, you know, being a wife, being a mother, you have business as well, running a business. How are these activities?
To be very, very candid and honest, it's hard. It is very, very hard. Being a mom is, you know how it is. It's so difficult. Like, even to get out of bed this morning, my husband's like, Stephanie was so special to you. And I'm like, she is. And I'm going to go. Like, getting up in the, like, early in the mornings are so hard for me. Like, literally, I like to sleep because I don't sleep at night. Like, I get pain through the night and it's worse at night.
You know what? Going back to your husband said that Stephanie must be really special to me. Temi's actually really special to me, actually, because I met her on a flight and we were about to... Oh my God, I'm going to cry. I was pregnant and I was leaving Nigeria.
Yeah.
And just, I was like, I don't know, I was holding my laptop and then I was pushing my thing and I was like, pushing my belly as well. And I was like, oh, and then I was also hiding from people. Like, I hope nobody sees me. And then she's like, oh, do you want help? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, please. And she helped me all the way onto the plane and we were talking. I don't know if we were talking in the lounge. I can't remember.
In the lounge. Yeah,
in the lounge. We were talking in the lounge. She was helping my bag and I was like, oh my gosh, she was such a sweet soul. And then when we were on the plane, like we spoke. And then when I landed, I was telling my friend and my mom that, oh my God, I'm so happy that I met this angel. Like, I met this human being that helped me. And that's how we became friends. And
then we became friends, yeah.
And then she told me she was pregnant. And then I was like,
not knowing
she
was pregnant
when she was
right
helping
there.
Me. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. So, you know, yeah, but yeah, that's thank you so much for coming. And yeah, yes, I just saw your husband knows why.
How are you able to get out of bed?
Like, we're so appreciative.
No, it's fine. It's hard. Just like, I need help all the time. I need so much help with my son. It's not easy. Sometimes I cry because
it's okay.
Because I can't do so much for my son.
But you're doing, you know, the thing is that, right? Every mom has mom guilt, even if you don't have any, like any type of syndrome or disease. Yep. Moms are just, like, just once you pop that baby out, it's like, oh, guilty. I ran away from my child for 5 minutes to have a coffee. I'm guilty. So I think it's just heightened with you because of what you have to deal with. Yeah. But your son is so proud of you. Trust me. When he grows up, he's going to be like, wow, my mom is a warrior. Like she was able to do this and, you know, still raise me. Like, and I know that you're gonna do so well as a mother. Like, your son is, don't worry about that, because you have such a good heart. And I would love to try and just really get into your head, but yeah. I know as a mom, like, how hard it is to be a mother. So yes. When it makes you want to break down and cry, just know that you are so special. And for you to have even given birth, do you know, like, how strong you are? Because even you telling me about your birth story, you were pregnant, you had the baby, and then you both contracted COVID.
Yes, we did. Yes. My son was a month old, like 1 month, and we were still in hospital because I couldn't leave because I had a crisis. It wasn't time to have my baby yet. But because, you know, like, to even conceive when you have sickle cell, it's hard. Mm. So when I conceived, it was so much a surprise to me because I know, like, you have to keep trying to have a baby. And when you try, you get miscarriages before your baby actually stays. So having my baby, like, getting pregnant was a surprise to me and my husband because I pictured in my mind, like, oh, okay. I'm not going to get pregnant soon. And then boom, it just happened. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank God. And then when my baby was about 28 weeks, I noticed it stopped moving in my belly. And then I went to the hospital and the doctor was like, oh no, it's just that, you know, this is growing. So there's no more space and all of that stuff. And I'm like, okay, go home. And then after 32 weeks, was it 32 weeks? I went back and like, something is wrong. Like, my baby is an active baby. Why is he not moving? And then I had a crisis. It was so bad that I had to stay in hospital for weeks. It was so bad. So they had to like keep checking my baby all the time to make sure that he was okay. And then there was a day, I can't remember. I think they do this. What's it called? Ultrasound?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the sonographer was like, oh, your belly is going down instead of going up. And I'm like, what's that? What does that mean? That it means that your son is not growing anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean my son is not growing anymore? So, oh, don't worry, we're going to do a special scan. Okay, and then I went to do a special scan with my husband. And then the sonographer there was like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't go home. The fluid in your baby is now like halfway and we need to take the baby out.
This is 32 weeks?
I think it was 32 weeks or 35 weeks. I'm not sure which, but it was like, it was like 6-7 months thereabout. And I was like, okay, so we need to have this baby. And he was like, yes. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, so why? I asked, so why is it that my baby stopped growing? And then she's like, oh, because you have sickle cell, there is, you know, a chance your baby stops growing, the fluid to reduce or for you to have a baby prematurely and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay then. So I went to have my baby through C-section. It was painful, by the way, yeah. But because it's not as painful as my sickle cell crisis, so it was okay for me.
Well, and that's crazy because I've had a C-section and it's painful. Anyone that's had a C-section knows that thing is painful. But for you to say that it wasn't as painful your sickle cell just makes me think that the pain you go through is excruciating to the point that even major surgery, like a C-section, pulling a baby out, mm-hmm. opening up your womb, your uterus or whatever, and sewing it back up is not as bad as having, you know, a sickle cell crisis.
Yeah, having a crisis. Yeah, it's not that bad. It was just like that to me. Of course, I almost died because usually you shouldn't have surgery when you have sickle cell. It's hard because then you lose a lot of blood.
Oh, right.
And then that causes crisis. You should see me when I had my baby. I was like hooked to so many machines in my mouth, in my nose, in my face. Like you couldn't recognize me because it was so bad. I lost so much blood. My mom was crying everywhere. She was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But it wasn't as painful. But then after like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then they did a COVID test while we were still in hospital. And I'm like, oh, you got COVID. And I'm like, okay. I started crying straight up because I'm like, what?
we had what? She said COVID. And then I just called my mom. Oh, they said Ruhan, that's my son's name, Ruhan has COVID. And then my mom just started crying. We all started crying. It was tough. It was tough because my son was just 1 month. And you know how it is seeing them like putting needles in your baby? Mm-hmm. Literally 1 month, like they were just poking him everywhere. No veins, nothing. Like they had to scrape his head eventually to put a needle in to, cause he lost blood from having COVID. So they had to like, you know, give him transfusions. I was also with, you know, drips, getting painkillers. I was hooked to mine and I had to take care of him at the same time. So now imagine having a crisis and having to take care of my baby at the same time.
So people must really, because you know your stories, like I can't really fathom, like, and also nobody here can really understand the pain, even if we want to say, okay, well, we sympathize with you. But do you even want the sympathy from people? Because people will just say, oh, so sorry, Belair, like, so sorry this happening to you. But like, what can people do to actually really help people that are going through sickle cell?
Okay. One thing we warriors hate the most is sympathy. Like, don't, sympathy and pity. Yeah. Don't pity me. Like, I know I have this illness. Yeah. So what you can do is just, oh, okay. How can I be helpful to you? Do you need anything? How is the pain? Do you need me to rub your legs? Do you need me to, like, massage it, stuff like that? Because trust me, Stephanie, people are so insensitive. Like, especially when you have pain. I've had, you know, people tell me, just try and hold it. Like, yeah, try and hold it.
You know, in Nigeria, people always want to, like, suffer and smile. So like, exactly. Oh, just, you know, just try, be strong, mm-hmm. be strong. And
try to be strong, try and hold it. Am I not trying to be strong? Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm. But I can't. Like, it's so bad that when I was in hospital the last time, I hide how my pain is. It's so bad that if I'm in pain, like I'm talking to you right now, I'm in pain, maybe like a 5/10. And this is how I am. This is how I've been masked to hide my pain, because I don't want to look like I need pity from anyone that will say, oh, you're not even strong. Look, there's someone that said to me before, oh, you like to abandon your child at home.
Oh my God.
People are so insensitive. So I just think if you don't have anything nice to say, do not say it at all. Do you get what I mean? Like,
oh my God.
Like, how do you say that to someone?
Okay. Ugh. Okay. So,
like, I had to tell my doctor, I was like, you know what? I'm going home. And he's like, why? What happened? You're not even okay yet. So why do you want to go home? And I had to tell him, like, someone came and said, oh, I like to abandon my child. And I'm just like, what? And he's like, why would they say that? Do they think it's easy to be here? Stephanie, I go through injections daily, painkillers daily, so many things. And then you come and then you tell me, oh, you just like to abandon this child. And it's bad. It's so, if I start saying the things people say to me, you wouldn't like it. You wouldn't like it. It's really bad.
I actually can't believe this, but okay. So, because I don't want to think of my crying is going to make me cry even more.
Please don't cry.
I just feel like, I'm lost for words. I can't believe it. I was actually going to ask you about marriage and how that's been, because obviously being a woman, you know, we're expected to do certain things and we want to do certain things. Want to be there for our husbands and stuff like that. Can you give us like an insight into what it's like for some sickle cell patients? Sickle cell warriors. how it is being a wife from your experience, like, because you're constantly in pain. So I'm trying to understand what you are able to do that when you're not in pain. Like, walking or what duties you do?
Bearable days. I wouldn't say not in pain, but I do have bearable days. But being a wife is hard as well. Shout out to my husband. He's a really kind man. He is.
Sorry, did you ever have a doubt that you would get married or you would find someone?
Okay, growing up, because I grew up a Muslim, My religion, you know, my religion helps me with my sukusal, because in Islam, we're told to look at things from God's perspective, like,
okay,
whatever I've given to you is a test, and there's a reward for you in the hereafter. So what I'm going through is, no, there's something waiting for me, like, out there, and like, you know, wherever we go to when we die. So it actually helps me to have, like, positive mind to everything. So I didn't think I would never get married. Mm. I knew someday somebody would come along. I knew it was going to be hard, but I knew somebody was going to come along. Because trust me, I had people who didn't want to be with me because of my sickle cell. I had men who said, oh, my mom said no. And I had men, I had an ex that said, oh, I'm just scared you're going to stand up one day and die on me. That was what he said. That was his reason for breaking up with me. So, but I didn't think that I wouldn't meet my husband, you know, wherever he was, at whatever age. I wasn't in a rush either, because whoever wants to be with me needs to, you know, be patient, be kind, know how to take care of me, not too easy to get angry, you know, because there are times I can't do my duties as a wife. And imagine just not marrying someone who's kind enough to understand that, okay, my wife can't do this. I need to be understanding. Do you understand what I mean? So yeah, I never thought that I wouldn't, you know, get married. It's the kid part I wasn't sure of, right, but I was so sure I would meet someone one day. Okay. Yeah. But it's hard, trust me, because I have people in my DMs who ask me all the time, oh, where did you meet your husband? I can't wait to meet mine.
Yeah.
Oh, people don't want to be even friends with me. So how will I even meet someone, you know, that would take me as I am? Because it's hard out here, Stephanie. It's hard. People don't have friends. People don't have people to look after them, which is why I'm grateful for my friends. They don't see me as my illness. They see me as me, as Tammy. Oh, it's Tammy. Like, I'm just grateful, really. I'm grateful.
Oh my gosh. And I said, you know, I was going to ask about something, but, you know, I don't want to bring us
no, it's fine. Tears. Go ahead,
but,
please.
Yeah, I know you lost your cousin.
Oh, yes.
And she also had sickle cell.
Yes. Oh my God, you remember?
Yeah.
It means a lot to me.
Oh, yeah, no, because, you know, for me, I just felt like, wow, you know, this was probably like the person that could understand your pain the most in life.
Yeah.
That could affect you in the way it could, and you could tell us actually how it affected you, because as I said, it's like your partner in crime, so to speak.
Yeah, she was everything to me. She was my sister. We're cousins, but like our dads are siblings.
Okay.
So she's like, we're like that, like best friends, literally. I look up to her. I look to her like she was stronger than I was. Like she lived in Lagos. I lived in the UK. She would, you know, the hustle and bustle of Lagos life. She would do it. She studied law. I studied law as well. She went to law school. She finished and, you know, she got a job and everything. And I didn't know she was sick, which was the hardest part for me. I just got a call and they're like, oh, she's dead. And on that day, I was on the bus in the UK. I was going to the cinema with, you know, my siblings in the UK. And I just stopped. And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I just literally stopped. I was like, okay, I need to go back home. Like, literally, I didn't know what I was doing. Because how would you just tell me she died? Like, just like that.
I know you could just tell him. I know what happened. But you just tell him how it happened. Like, how she ended up passing away.
You know, after I got over my crying and my grief, I asked, I said, what happened? Did she have a chest crisis? There are major factors that can happen to a sickle cell warrior that can take her life. So one of them is called acute chest syndrome. It's basically you having pain in your chest. You're not able to breathe and you need transfusions immediately. Like the pain literally takes you by the chest. And once it takes you by the chest, I think it's only God that can bring you back from it. So I asked, I said, did she have a chest crisis? They said, yes, she had a chest crisis. So what happened? Was there no transfusion? Was there no oxygen immediately? And they were like, oh, Nigerian hospitals were saying they were waiting for the blood to cool down. The blood was right there, but they were waiting for it to cool down. I'm like, cool down? I don't understand cool down. are like, oh, the blood was frozen and they needed to wait for it to warm up. And I'm like, they don't have what warms up blood because I don't get it. They were like, oh yeah, the blood was just waiting there and she couldn't breathe no more. And she just, you know, gave up. She gave up. And I'm like, and it's so scary until now. I'm scared of Nigerian hospitals.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Because in the UK, like, you get like proper treatment. Like, you get the ambulance within 10 minutes, five, especially if you have sickle cell. Within like 5-10 minutes, they're there. Mm-hmm. And when you're there, if you have, you know, chest crisis, immediately the ambulance gives you oxygen and they call the hospital, tell them you're, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
And in this, that's why I told you, I ran away from the hospital where I was. It was really sad. It was a sad thing for me. And since then, I've been so scared to have a chest crisis because every single time I'm just like, remember. I don't, yeah, yeah, like, I mean, I don't want to die yet, but
God forbid.
I, you know, I say this to my husband and he doesn't like it. And I'm like, you know, if I go, just pray for me. And he's just like, they say that you're not going to go now. Blah, blah, blah. Because of that, I have my own oxygen literally at home. Like, if I'm flying, I need it. You know, where we're on the same flight, but we're sleeping and everything. You didn't see that, like, I needed to be hooked to oxygen on flights all the time. So, like, I bought my own just because of Nigeria and flights because they stopped giving it. I don't know why, but they stopped giving it. So, like, just so I won't get the chest syndrome on flights or, like, anywhere that is a bit stuffy or anywhere that is... Don't worry, it's fine. I see you looking around. It's okay. It's fine. No. But, yeah, her death really took a toll on me. I had high blood pressure. I was diagnosed with depression. I was literally popping tablets on, you know, high blood pressure. And it was so bad because I was sick for... I haven't come back from it, Stephanie. I haven't. Because since then... Since then I've been sick literally every single day like of my life. It's hard just not having that person you look up to.
Yeah.
And it's so better when you just have someone who understands what you're going through. I mean, I'm grateful for my friends. They don't understand it so much, but some of them do. You know, there's some that would say, oh, tell me you're going now, make sure you have your painkillers in your bag. Their friends who, when we're going to cinema, they hold like the blanket for me. It's going to be cold, so come. But I also have friends who do not understand, who would rather, you know, like I could call you now and say, oh, Stephanie, like, I think I'm going to die. I don't know. And then I have friends who say, don't say that. You can't say that. But I'm just being real about what's happening to me right now. So, but it's still not the same as, you know, having somebody who knows everything you're going through and that person being family.
Yeah.
And just knowing, like, they're gone. And every time I see her dad, it's emotional for me because surely on my wedding day, if you see a picture, I don't know if I still have it up, I was crying. It wasn't because I was sad I was getting married. It was because I saw him and I'm like, he would wish this
for
his daughter. And she's not here. And it's just, it's still emotional for me, even though I think she's gone about 3 years now.
But it doesn't matter about the time.
Yeah, but it's not easy. It's not.
Okay, this is probably our most emotional episode ever, but most enlightening and an informative.
Can I have tissue, please?
Please get more tissue. On that note, Tammy, thank you so much for being so open and brave and just really, because, you know, a lot of people out there that don't understand the pain that people with sickle cell go through, and even people that have sickle cell, they will be so appreciative of someone sharing their, you know, the pain that they go through, so that others can be more sensitive and understanding towards what it is to deal with sickle cell on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And but you know, shout out to you, girl. You are a warrior. Like,
thank you
are so many things. You are a kind person, you're a loving person. You are so fulfilled as well. You're a mother. So many people want to be mothers, they want to be wives, they want to be business owners, you know, they want to be cute, you want to be beautiful, they want to have friends, you know, so you have so much, you know,
I'm grateful.
I'm happy that you have been able to share your story with us, and we are so grateful. Thank you so much, Temi.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Yes. Round of applause for Temi. Yes. Virtual clap as well. Thank you guys so much for watching this episode. I hope it has been very enlightening for you all. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. And you can follow Temi Flawless.
Yes, that's me.
Temi Flawless on Instagram. Yeah. And yeah, and we're sending so much love to all the sickle cell warriors out there celebrating June 19th.
Yes, June 19th.
Yeah, God bless you all. And we'll see you next time on another episode of Me, Her, and Everything Else. Bye, guys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.